Good evening. If everyone would find a seat, we'll get our council meeting going here shortly. We've just returned from a closed session, so I'm going to ask our council if there's any reportable actions.
There was no reportable action. I do want to note, though, that we did not complete the closed session on labor negotiations. So after the regular session is completed, we'll be recessing to complete that closed session.
Thank you. We'll call our regular session to order, and we will begin with a Pledge of Allegiance by Councilwoman Moreno, followed by a moment of silence remembering 9/11.
Yes, please join me in our pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now a moment of silence to remember those we lost in 9/11. Thank you.
Let's go ahead with roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Councilmember Sturtevant is absent this evening. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
Thank you for present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda.
I'll move approval.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. First item is a presentation regarding the Smart Commute Choice during Rideshare Week, which is October 1 through 5, and that is going to be by Peter Williamson of San Luis Obispo Council of Governments.
Good evening, Mayor O'Malley, council members, Tascadero. My name is Peter Williamson. I'm the employer outreach coordinator at the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. SLOCOG is our region's agency responsible for transportation planning and funding. I work with employers throughout the region to encourage their employees to make smart commute choices, alternatives to driving alone. So our rideshare division also has programs for seniors, persons with disabilities, parents, K-12 students, and our visitors through our 511 program. So I'm here today to fill you in on upcoming Rideshare Week, which is October 1st through the 5th, as well as National Walk School Day, October 10th. For Rideshare Week, we're once again asking the community of Atascadero to pledge to do their part between now and October 5th, the end of Rideshare Week, whether you drive alone because you have a different schedule every day, as is common in emergency response, or you try and carpool regularly. Please just take a minute to think about how you can get involved this year. For example, you could post your commute to the Waze Carpool app, which allows for flexible carpooling. You can refer a friend, be like, I can't do it, but you should. Share a picture of your smart commute to any of our social media channels, track your smart commute choices, etc. A lot of different ways to get involved. And I'm going to tell you how you can win $700. Does anybody want $700? I could use it. I'll take it if you don't want it. So you can visit supercommuter.org now, identify how you want to get involved in the pledge form, and then we'll explain how to complete the selected actions. And then in the back, I actually brought that list as well, so you can go through and check that out. Each action you complete is an entry into a separate $100 sweepstakes, so we like to say, going up to $700. As always, we'll have multiple events, work sites throughout the county. North County, we have a few at Atascadero State Hospital, and that will include a job fair actually this Saturday. So if you're looking for a job, come out to Atascadero State Hospital. I'll tell you how you can get there. That will be cool. And then the general community is also encouraged at that last one to join us at Downtown SLO, September 28th, kind of kick off Rideshare Week, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Come play some yard games, enjoy free appetizers, chance at 50% off your dinner for the Big Sky Cafe. It's the sort of thing we all think about in Europe, that plaza where you're drinking coffee. We shouldn't have to go to Europe to enjoy that. This is to kind of look at that concept in a different way. So come see what more parks, less parking looks like and kick off the Rideshare Week fun. Our event outreach will continue the following week during Rideshare Week, and employers like Costco and Cal Poly will have 14 events in total between now and October 5th. Slide here. And Outreacher, I'd like to say it's not a mode, it's a movement, but when it comes to our mode, our various transportation partners are kicking in some Rideshare Week exclusives, like free bus rides from Slow Transit, Tri-Transit Thursday for free in Morro Bay, free Tri-Transit passes from RTA, basically via me, $100 off our first your first month of vanpooling with a free vehicle upgrade, and then a free month lease boltabout.com giveaway for one lucky person. And then keep an eye out supercommuter.org to see what other agencies are going to be up to for Rideshare Week. There should be a few more coming down the line. This year's Rideshare Week challenge at irideshare.org has five categories. Three of those are for employers. One is for community teams of up to 10 individuals, and then we have the individual challenge as well. And so for the team challenge, like I said, grab 10 friends, coworkers, community members. All the challenge categories, including the individual one, are based on how many single-occupant vehicle miles traveled you can reduce. That's a mouthful. But basically, what does that mean? You can bike to your morning coffee. You can take the bus to an event on the weekend. You can walk to lunch, vanpool to work, this sort of thing. Whatever you do, any reductions in you driving alone, log those trips, and you'll take those miles off the road and help your category win. So the winners in each category by mileage reduction will receive a title trophy award. I've been spray painting those all day, so if I have some glitter on my face, I apologize. You can win it this year. It's really cool looking, and you'll defend it year to year. We like kind of like the Stanley Cup, a little bit of fun. And the employer category also a giveaway for a national recognition via the best workplaces for commuters out of Southern Florida. And that designation tells potential new hires at your workplace that supports smart commute choices. So last but not least, anyone here have kids? Like one kid in Tascadero? All right, so save the date. National Walk to School Day is October 10th. Make sure your school's involved. Now's the time to definitely check that out. You can email our public information officer, PIO@slowcog.org. That's Anna. And she'll make sure that your school gets in the mix. National Walk School Day. So whether you're an advocate for alternative transportation, you're actively seeking smart commute opportunities, maybe you walk with your kids on October 12th, you're making our 10th, you're making our community a better place. Thank you. Any questions before I take off?
Any questions? Well, thank you.
Thanks, Mayor Malley.
Did you ride your bike here tonight?
Absolutely.
I am very proud of you. Very good job. Next on our agenda is the consent calendar, which is made up of items considered to be routine in nature and can be voted on with one motion without a lot of need for discussion, unless any member of the board, council, or public would like to pull an item for further discussion. Would anyone like to do that? We'll have a little more discussion on item four. Any other items for discussion? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and entertain a motion on the remaining items.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar, items A1 through A3.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Ponzi.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We'll take up item four from the consent calendar, and I'll go ahead and have our city manager give a little update. This is something fairly routine and has been done before, so we might fill in the public a little bit about the background. In fact, I talked about this on KPRL quite a bit today, so we'll see if you cover everything I covered. Take it away.
Thank you, Mayor. The item you have before you is a approval of an agreement for deferred payment of development fees for the Home to Suites Hilton Hotel. As you know, deferment of particularly development impact fees is an economic tool, development tool that the city uses to get people's attention, to try and attract businesses and make a point that we're more business friendly here in Atascadero. Our development impact fees are those fees that are made for future improvements to widen roads, to do those things. They do not recover costs that are incurred, you know, immediately, such as those building permit fees and other fees. These are those impact fees for those improvements. This is a program that has been offered to and accepted by Spring Hills Marriott Suites. Holiday Inn Express, and now Hilton Home to You Suites. We defer the impact fees for a period of 5 years. Impact fees are due upon occupancy, typically, for most permits here in the city. What we do is we allow them to finance them for 5 years at the city's current LAFE rate at a fixed rate of when the agreement is entered into. So this is an agreement to pay off $563,280 over a five-year period after occupancy in roughly five equal installments plus interest. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, and as I understand, as you said, this would be somewhat of a break-even for the city in that you are reimbursed not only for the original development impact fees deferred, but the interest the city could earn on other investments, though you are doing without the cash for that period of time.
That is correct. Obviously, if it's a fixed rate, so there is some interest rate risk, either up or down, but yes, that is correct. And we offer these particularly to those businesses that are going to bring in the case of hotels, obviously a lot of transient occupancy tax for the city. But we have been authorized to offer it if it's a number of jobs or have other public benefits too.
Right. And for hotels, particularly anything that produces TOT, there is a special benefit for the community. I remember when we first had the Carlton Hotel rebuilt, and folks said, well, what if it's not successful? I said, well, whether it's successful or not, it was appraised at $650,000 on the tax rolls for property tax, and then after it was completed, it was appraised at about $12.5 million. So the property tax difference as you build a substantial investment is pretty good, helps on income for the city. The additional benefit is, of course, lodging industries produce transient occupancy tax. If you compare that to retail sales, you earn 1 cent on the dollar is all we keep out of the sales tax. You know, if you figure whatever the tax rate is, we keep 1 cent of the sales tax. However, with income on a hotel, the city receives 10% transient occupancy tax. And on top of that, hoteliers pay an additional 3% that goes just into marketing the lodging industry in our area and also help promoting other businesses. So it is something that we want to encourage. And fortunately, we're not really in competition with other hotels in our city or even other cities' hotels. We are in competition with other counties. And if you look at what the result of that investment in marketing and promotion, the 1% that goes to the county's tourism board and the 2% that stays in our own city's tourism board that helps promote more people coming to our area, we've actually increased market share opposed to other counties over time and done pretty well. Our city, as a matter of fact, has had the highest growth rate in TOT of any city. Now, we're not up with Paso and Pismo, but the growth rate has increased because we've done such things as this. So I think it's a good investment for our community, and I support that. Any other questions or comments by board members before we open up? We'll open up to the public. Anyone wishing to speak on this item? Welcome. Just state your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Ann Ketcherside, and I'm here tonight about a property at 6501 Bia.
If I could excuse you, this is not the open community forum time right now. This is speaking specifically to this closed session, this consent
calendar
item.
We can speak on anything that's not on the agenda. This is not on the agenda.
What we're talking about right now is the consent calendar item number 4. Sorry about that confusion. We'll have a time for you to speak a little bit later on the agenda. Welcome. We are considering item 4, which Ms. Funk, you had pulled for discussion. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Susan Funk from Atascadero. I pulled this item because the spirit, which I support in its general spirit. This is exactly what we want to do, to encourage business development in our community and to attract the revenue-producing, particularly hotels with the transient occupancy tax. My concern is that the structure of the contract, as I saw it, seems to slightly understate the city's cost of the funds involved. And I wanted to make sure that the city's true cost was reflected in this, and I thought that this is probably something that might be agreed to with the property owner without it being a particular problem. The issue is that the city's, as you saw in the packet, the city's funds are divided into assets that are highly liquid and assets that are not quite so liquid. Essentially, it's like your household checking account and your savings account. And we all know that you only keep as much, if you have the luxury to have both accounts, you only keep as much in your checking account as you have to for the expenses that flow on your regular basis, and you keep the rest in the savings account. So to the extent to which the city maintains its funds that way to maximize the interest return that it gets, the expenses that we cover for this related to this property during the period of time that the payment is being deferred are actually funds that are sitting over in the investment account, or our version of savings account, rather than the checking account. So therefore, rather than having the interest rate be at the average cost of the city's entire portfolio, I would propose that the true cost of the interest here is the slightly higher rate that the city gets on its LAIF investments. It's the pooled set of investments that we've gone to earn a little bit more money. And so that's why I wanted to raise that issue with the council and suggest that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers on this routine item on our consent calendar? Seeing none, approach will close the public comment section. I could say a lot, but I'll turn it over to our city manager. If you want to address specifically some of the interest issues, I'll talk about the investment side of the equation.
Thank you, Mayor. There is a difference in costs or interest rates on all the number of investments that we do have. Certainly, the council could choose to implement a program that has a different interest rate, but this is the one that we have historically used for the other hotels in town, and this is the one that has been stated as part of the program. If the council had a desire to address a different interest rate for any future offerings, we can certainly do that as part of strategic planning, or you could direct me to bring it back. But we do advertise that this is the offer that we will give to hotels and other businesses in order to attract them. So I believe that changing the interest rate at this rate time may not be our best economic development move, but if you would like to look at it in the future, I could certainly agendize that.
So being fair and consistent, and what is the range of interest that we're talking about? Is it like the potential of getting like 10% more interest, or what are we talking about difference?
No, right now LAIF runs around 1.85, and if you look through our portfolio, we have investments that range from 1.3 to, sorry, I'm flipping through, it looked like 2.46 was the highest, and that's a five-year one. So
we're talking about maybe a 1 percentage point difference.
Yeah, not even.
On a short-term loan.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And again, how I look at this would be much like when we look at our personal investments. Like you say, kind of a difference between checking account and savings account. I think that's a good analogy. But what you really want is money-making assets, and we want to be in partnership with our private sector businesses, because when they have an asset and it comes online sooner, that actually produces more revenue for the city and for the private sector investor as well. So the sooner that is up and running, the better. The problem a lot of businesses have is the interest. For us, it's only 1% interest or 2%. A builder may have to be paying 10-12% or more for short-term financing for a construction loan, and that can be a deterrent to maybe not even doing a project. And so that's where we want to encourage businesses to get up and running sooner, because as soon as that cash flow comes online, whether it's property tax, for example, going from $650,000 to $12 million like the Carlton, just on the property tax revenue, or the TOT, which is 10% return on your investment, that is considerably more. So I'm satisfied with our current plan is good for the city. Other comments or questions?
You said LAIF is currently 1.85, and we're doing 1.88, so we're actually 3 basis points higher than LAIF right now.
That is correct.
Okay.
Well, that would be the easy way to answer the question, that it's already as good as we can do on the just the interest. But whether that changes or not in the future, I think our goal in economic development is to bring private sector assets online as soon as they can, producing income for the investor as well as the city. But I think it's something to always look at. I think our city treasurer also had similar concerns, just to let's make sure we always monitor that. But I think our accounting staff keeps on top of that pretty good. Any other comments or questions on this one?
Yes, I don't think it would be prudent to change that rate when we've advertised it that way and they're going forward with a hotel. This is not the right time.
Well, I think there's something we want to be consistent and fair with everyone that we deal with. With that, then I will make the motion that we approve as staff's recommendation. Is there a second? We have a motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next, we have updates from the city manager, and after that, we'll have our usual community forum where anyone can speak on any item not on our agenda. But first, our city manager.
Thank you, Mayor. The first item I want to talk about tonight is August Cruisin' Weekend. It was a great success, and there's Luke. Cruisin' Weekend, which was held last month on August 17th and 18th, was kicked off that Friday night with our third annual Dancing in the Streets, which had double the attendance over last year. And Hot El Camino Cruise Night included more than 415 classic cars with thousands of people in attendance. We had our best turnout yet for this weekend-long event, and this was the largest attended city event so far. We also had a lift in hotel stays this year for the weekend-long event with strong promotional efforts getting more people in town to enjoy it all. It was all in all a fantastic weekend. We had some beautiful nights. I think that the crowd for the Dancing in the Streets was ready to keep going when we shut it down and had a really good time. So I think there's a lot of people that are excited to come again next year. The George C. Beatty A-Town Skate Park got a facelift. So thanks to the generous donations made by our local Home Depot store and the Atascadero Rotary Club. Sorry, Mayor. The A-Town Skate Park was recently refurbished and refreshed. The Rotary Club donated $7,500 to the project, and Home Depot donated $8,500 in store credit to spend on materials. In addition to about a dozen staff members from Home Depot, they spent many hours refurbishing the interior, exterior, and skate structures and removed about 15 years of grease and grime from the concrete floors and put on a beautiful top coat. It's absolutely amazing. If anybody from the public hasn't had a chance to go poke your head into A-Town Skate Park, it's a great experience. They're very welcoming, and I'm sure they'd be happy to give you a tour and show you what's going on, whether you're interested in skating or not. So thank you to Rotary and Home Depot. We have three more dining choices here in town. So La Paria Mexican Grill, located in the Vaughn Shopping Center. They offer a variety of different authentic Mexican food for every meal of the day. Our department did have to try it out for lunch, of course, and it was really very good. We enjoyed it. Their salsa was a little hot for me, but amazing food. I highly recommend it. We have LaDonna's, which I have not tried, but I know that Councilmember Moreno has. Newly opened at the corner of El Camino Real and Entrada Avenue, LaDonna's serves farm-to-table selections, including delicious appetizers and entrees, and they also offer live music on Friday nights featuring local artists. And we have a Atascadero Bistro, located in the Plaza de Pueblo at 7425 El Camino Real. This is a casual French restaurant serving breakfast, brunch, lunch, and dinner. Formerly the French Country Bistro, this location was closed temporarily for remodeling and has recently reopened as the Atascadero Bistro, and I have tried this one. I had a jalapeno waffle that was really interesting, very, very good. So, sorry, all sorts of good stuff going on. We have the third annual Showdown Cornhole Tournament, so be sure to mark your calendars for the third annual Showdown Cornhole Tournament on Saturday, September 22nd from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. in the Sunken Gardens. The Knights of Columbus and the Kiwanis of Atascadero are back for one day. Thank you, Kiwanis. For a maximum 128-team tournament, this is one of the most popular family fun games, and this tournament is the largest tournament around. Teams will be competing for cash prizes and other awards. There'll be plenty of fun for everybody in addition to the tournament, including raffles, a best costume prize, and the Jenga challenge. There'll be plenty of food and drinks available for purchase from various vendors, and there will be live music by Roger Perry Band as the competition heats up. The cost for each two-person team to enter the tournament is an $80 donation, and this year the event benefits the Atascadero High School Robotics Team. The Knights in Columbus and the Kiwanis spent a lot of time and effort volunteering and putting this tournament together. It's a fun day, even if you don't play cornhole, to come out and watch. Everybody has a good time. If you don't play cornhole, still come play. It's a lot of fun for everybody, and it's a great fundraiser for the Graybots this year. You can register your team for this tournament at eventbrite.com. So please be sure to register early so we can make sure you can get a slot. It's getting to be that time of year. Colony Days Parade and Festival. The annual Colony Days weekend kicks off on Friday, October 5th, with Tent City After Dark from 4:30 to 10 p.m., located for the second year in the Sunken Gardens. I want to make sure everybody knows we've moved the date up. So it's October 5th, 6th, that weekend. That's when Colony Days will be, and you don't want to miss it, so please come. The festivities will continue on Saturday, October 6th, with the annual Colony Days Parade down El Camino Real beginning at 10 a.m., which will be followed by a variety of activities throughout Tent City and Sunken Gardens, including tours of City Hall, the Colony House, and, of course, much more. Everyone can experience life the way it used to be in the early days of Atascadero. This event is always free for everyone to attend, plus there will be lots of food and other items available for purchase. Plus, for early risers, the pancake breakfast at 7 a.m. on Saturday. I also wanted to mention one more thing that I don't have in my notes here. But Diablo Canyon Facilities Repurposing Workshops will be held here at Atascadero City Hall on Friday, September 14th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday, September 15th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Basically, there's been a bunch of stakeholders who have requested to present to the panel regarding what they would like to see at for repurposing of the Diablo Canyon facilities. The public is welcome to attend, but they will only be limiting presenters to those that have already been invited. But they'll both be here at City Hall, so please come and find out what's going on with Diablo.
Is that two separate one-day workshops, or is that one two-day workshop?
It is one continuously long hearing workshop, is my understanding. They have different stakeholder groups scheduled for different times to come speak. I'm not sure. We weren't given a list of when it is, but I did want the public to know about it.
Thank you.
Any other Council questions on the city manager's report? Thank you. We'll next move on to the community forum portion, which is an opportunity for all of you to speak to all of us on anything that's not on the agenda and yet still under our jurisdiction. Welcome. Just please state your name for the record. Each speaker has 3 minutes.
I will not come without a hearing aid again. My name is Ann Ketcherside. I'm here tonight to talk about 6501 Bia, 7 1/4 acres on Bia Street. I have been asked by the city over the years, I've been helping the Better family, that's who owns the property, for years to get it up and running. Between us and the renters, we have close to $300,000 into the property at this time. Over the last 4 years, I have had people who work for City Hall ask me if they could purchase the property at least 40 times. Our lawyer didn't believe that one time, the Los Angeles lawyer, when we were in a city dispute. And he went and he asked the people that worked for the city, are you wanting to buy Bia? He said he almost fell over. They not only said yes, they came up with a price right then and there. Bia is not for sale. When Vivian's dead and I'm dead, it's still not for sale. We have a renter there, and he has not been given a license to operate a business yet. But yet, he's been hit for thousands of dollars. Every time he turns something into the planning, I'll give you an example. They didn't like the paper it was on. He had to pay $6,000 for the new plans. He just got a call a couple of days ago that there's 3 little mistakes. It's going to cost him another $1,400. I've never prayed so hard for clean dirt. We got hit for $3,100 just to test the dirt. Thank you, Jesus, it came out clean. People all the way to Florida were praying. The dirt's clean. We've got a good man with a good reputation renting. We don't want to lose him as a renter. We had 2 other people before him that were going to rent the place. That are, I won't name them because they might not want to be named, but they own businesses and they wanted to rent. And by the time they came to City Hall, they came back and they said no. City Hall is not going to let you operate anything there. I'm asking you tonight to let our renter have his license. He can't afford to pay us rent if he has to keep giving all the money to the city and can't even operate a business. So whoever has to check this out, I know you don't answer me tonight, that's fine. Whoever has to check this out, please do something about it. We would like to get this man and keep him as a renter and quit having him pay so much money. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
My name is Damon Meeks. Born and raised here in Tascadero. I went to elementary school with Casey Bryant.
We have to keep the mic right at your mouth.
Sorry.
There you go.
Born and raised here in Tascadero. I went to elementary school with Casey. You know, I've been here a long time. I was coming down here tonight to talk about some issues that I feel like we're having in the city. And as I was getting dressed, it kind of really dawned on me what the day is. You know, it's 9/11. So I did not want to come down here and talk about issues. Kind of wanted to talk about 9/11 a little bit. Sorry, this is kind of emotional. You know, 9/11 was a real devastating blow to all of us. We lost thousands of heroes that day. And to me, the real tragedy of that day was the aftermath. And for a short time in our country, it didn't matter if you were black, if you were Asian, if you were white, if you were Mexican, it didn't matter. Didn't matter if you're Republican. It didn't matter if you were a Democrat. We were Americans. And, you know, we were united. And so maybe if we could just remember what that was like to be united. You know, maybe a small town like ours can change something. Just maybe. So anyways, I believe all of you up here are good people. You have our state, our community, our whole country as your...
Again, if you could remember to keep the mic really close. Thank you.
I believe that you guys are here, you know, to serve our community, our state, and ultimately our country. And I just want to say thank you to Casey and the fire department. Thank you to every one of you guys. And thank you to the police department. I just want to really thank all of you guys for, and just remember. That's it. Oh, and I'm sorry, I missed a whole paragraph up here. As I said, I came down here tonight to talk about some issues in here. It was going to take me two meetings to get through them. I hope at the next meeting you will allow me a little bit extra leeway in my time up here so we can have this instead. Again, thank you guys.
Thank you. Let me check with our clerk. Did you get the name for the record? If you could restate your name just for the record.
My name is Damon Meeks.
Thank you. And, you know, you're welcome to send an email to the city clerk or the council if you've got more to tell us that you just don't have time to get through. And that way you also can get a written response back. We'll try to follow up with any concerns you have. So that's another avenue that might help.
I've gone down a lot of avenues, and I believe at this point in time it needs to come up in front of you guys, but tonight's not the night.
That's fine. Okay, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, and again, thank you, each and every one of you.
Thank you.
I don't think that's said enough.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Hi. My name is Kathleen Carley. I'm a division manager in the Public Health Department, and I'm here representing the Healthy Communities Work Group, a group of community members and volunteers representing various organizations, including SLOCOG, Public Health, APCD, Health Commission, Environmental Health, City of SLO Planning Commission, County Planning Department, Caltrans, HomeShare, CAPSLO, and Cal Poly. Healthy Communities is a subcommittee of our Obesity Prevention Coalition, and what we do is we look at the impact of the built environment on health. Since 2012, we've reviewed over 100 different projects coming into the County Planning Department. We've also reviewed a few coming into Atascadero Planning Department and submitted our comments. Our group has identified housing as a significant local need. Safe, affordable, adequate housing is the cornerstone of a healthy community. Housing enables people to build roots, to get to know their neighbors, to build a social network, and to become civically engaged. When housing is not affordable and stable, people are often faced to choose between paying rent and other expenses such as food and medical care. I wanted to let you know that on Thursday, October 4th, from 1 to 6 p.m., Healthy Communities will be hosting a free community workshop at the Vets Hall, Health and Housing, Building the Connection. The event will have a lot of local speakers as well as a keynote speaker from Change Lab Solutions. I'm here today to ask you to attend. I do have a flyer, if you'd allow me to approach and hand out a flyer to everyone. I've given a copy to the city clerk, so she has it for the minutes. And I just wanted to make sure you knew. Sometimes outlying jurisdictions outside SLO don't get the message, and I wanted to personally invite you.
Thank you. You can just hand it to the chief. He'll get it passed on down. And you said Vets Hall. I'm assuming by the context you're talking about the San Luis Obispo Vets Hall.
Yes, on Grand Avenue. Asking people to register just so we have your name and we know who to, how many people to expect. Registration information is on the flyer.
Very good. Thank you. Welcome, next speaker. We do have a question for you before you get too far away.
It's actually not a question. I think I heard you say October 5th.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, maybe you did. Okay, I think
October
you did say the
4th.
Okay, I had in my head the 5th. I want to make sure for the record it was, okay.
Yeah, it's my daughter's birthday on the 5th, so if I said it, I got it mixed up.
It was probably my bad. Thank you.
Moms are always forgiven. That's fine. October the 4th, Thursday, 1 to 6, Veterans Hall, San Luis Obispo. Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jim Wilkins with the Tascadero Historical Society. Wanted to bring the community up to speed on our Colony Heritage Project. We have both structures up there, the cabin and the archival house, are now sitting on their new foundations. So that happened in the last 6 weeks or so after moving the house down El Camino, which was a very exciting evening. And when I say thanks to all the community that was out there, because there was a very large crowd out there at the factory outlets area, and all the way down they followed it. It was kind of amazing to watch it. So now our next endeavor with it is to get a roof on the archival house before the rains come. And we do have a small wish list. We could use a few more hammers. We could use some 1x6, 1x8, and just some moral support from the community, because it is a huge undertaking. So people that don't know where it is, if you go up to the new library, drive all the way up to the back of the parking lot, you'll see a structure sitting there, and that's the archival house. And if you go to the north, you'll see the cabin, and that eventually will be our natural history museum. So, and Charles has been up there swinging plenty of hammers and shovels, so we appreciate it, Charles. Anyway, just wanted to bring you up to speed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Karen McNamara from Templeton. I wanted to give you a quick update tonight on the state of the Tascadero Printery. We wanted to let you know that we have got our first engineer round going, and she will be designing the structural support for the first and second floors, considered temporary, but most of it will be permanent steel going into place, which will make that building a lot more sound should we have any more earthquakes. So it's a local engineer, Jillian Van Eckwart. She lives here in Atascadero. She's amazing. She was very, very pleased on her very thorough inspection of the building at the condition of the building. Even structural cracks from, she said there was just very, very little cracking, even from the normal concrete cracking. She said very little of it. So the building is in pretty good condition, but we do need to get that steel in place. So this Sunday is a fundraiser. If you haven't heard, along with Heather and Susan, I am Dancing with Our Stars this year. And oh my gosh. we're having a fundraiser this Sunday. It is our cow pie bingo and free concert. So we're inviting the entire community to come get involved. It starts at 4 p.m. on Sunday. The weather's supposed to be absolutely gorgeous. The concert is free. It's Shelley and the Classics. Our own Rick Evans is a part of that group. And they're a very good, fun classic rock band. Be lots of dancing and fun. So it starts at 4. Cow Pie Bingo is at 5. We encourage you to go to our website at atascaderoprintery.org and buy a square or two or more. They're $25 a piece, and the grand prize is $800, along with some secondary. There are about 10 or 12 other prize drawings. And we want to say thank you to Councilman Bourbeau, who has volunteered to be our judge for the Cow Pie Bingo. So we thank you very much for that. It could be a messy job. So we're very thankful. So we'd love to see all of you and obviously the entire community come out, support us, but also this is a volunteer appreciation night. We want to thank our volunteers. They're getting some free food and the free concert. But come and enjoy the printery. It is actually a very nice setting over there. So please come for that. And we'd love to see everybody. And then, I only have 20 seconds, but can I have another 3 minutes? Because I have to put my other hat on. So I wanted to plug Colony Days. As you know, I'm the chair of Colony Days again this year. And this is the big community event that is about the community. So we'd love to see everybody come and appreciate each other. Say, this is... We all have to work together in this community, so this is our way of coming together, celebrating who we are, celebrating our founding, and so we encourage everybody to come. We are changing it up this year. We've had Tent City After Dark on Saturday evening. This year we are putting it to October 5th, Friday, starts at 4:30, the music begins. We have some fun contests. Because it's Mudhole Follies this year, we're doing a Whiskerino contest. So guys, start growing. You get a head start on No Shave November. Whiskerino contest, a 5-pound burger eating contest at 5 o'clock. Great music. We are bringing in a group from Nashville called Carolina Story, another couple local groups that are very popular, Wood and Hillary and Kate, and our Toro Creek Ramblers are going to do music all night long. For $35, you get to come sit in Tent City with the lights on. It's absolutely a beautiful experience if you haven't ever been there. Those tents glowing with the lights is just a great experience. Come, and included in that is a free drink of your choice. And we're just encouraging everybody to come to that because it's going to be a great concert. 4 hours of music. So more than 4 hours of music. And a lot of fun. And then Saturday, October 6th, of course, is our parade as normal. Thank you to everybody that's been working diligently. Nick's been involved. Gerald's been involved. Laura's been involved. Terry. Lots of work to get this on and doing every year, but we're almost ready. And the parade's at 10 a.m., all the way from El Camino at Golden China down to West Mall. It'll turn down West Mall. So we encourage everybody, come on out, enjoy the parade, celebrate our community with us. Parade entries are due September 17th, so one more week. So we're encouraging everybody, just, you know, walk your goat, whatever. Make it a community event again. Then, of course, Tent City, our reenactment. The actors are working really hard on that, and that's going to be another great day. And the dog race is at 1 o'clock. And remember, this is a lot of free things during Colony Days. Everything all day long is free except for your food that you might want to purchase there. So all the events are all free. A lot of good music. Brementown's coming again, and the community band. So it's going to be a great day. Like I say, a lot of free stuff. That's something that we're very proud of, is that this has got a lot of activities, a lot of fun things to do, and it's free. You know, a lot of the events are just buy everything, but we're free. So thank you all. Look forward to seeing you all there. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And thank you so much.
Very good. You did use up two people's worth, but that's okay. That's okay. I think Maggie's going to add to that. Okay, Maggie, just tell me who we make the check out to start with. Is that Tascadero Colony Days?
Maggie Vandergaard.
Maggie Vandergaard. I'll make it out to Tascadero. Let me check with the president over there.
Good evening, everyone. As always, I developed a symbiotic relationship with the microphone a few years ago. Every time I approach one, I have to cough and clear my throat. That done, now I want to say thank you to the city for continued support of Colony Days. When I first founded this committee 45 years ago, we didn't have a city council. It wasn't until 4 years later that we were incorporated. And in those days, the only public help we got was from the volunteer fire department. And they were so wonderful. That's why, to this day, I have them lead our parade each year. Made a couple of notes, let's see. Otherwise, old people like me ramble. I do anyway. Okay. As always, we need funding to pay for the liability insurance is always the big item for one. And Tent City things, they're just ongoing. We need it. And I'd like to, Charles Barbeau, thank you for donating part of your big salary as city councilman to us every year. And thank you, Tom, for your strong support and all your badge sales. And I brought some for you. I think probably part of your sales go to enforce the city employees to buy from you, right? Yes. So guess what? I'm donating one to each of you tonight to make your sales harder.
Well, you don't have to, because, as you know, I just buy them all, and then it saves all the time of you trying to collect a buck from everybody.
See, We
threw your whole script off, didn't I? Go ahead. You can do it.
Fortunately, as you know, I'm hearing impaired, and I didn't hear that, so
that's the truth. We've got a city manager that's like that, too. She doesn't hear a lot of what we say.
Okay. We're having, this is, excuse me, our 45th year, as I said that, and we're hoping for some lighthearted and even downright funny entries this year. The world we live in is tough now, and it's hard to find something to make us smile like we should. In the past, we've had some funny things, like we had a bunch of middle-aged plump ladies from Morro Bay that used belly dancers that were in our parade, and they were wonderful. I had Chinese lion dancers from Cal Poly. Used to be a young fellow lived in the south end of town, had a big fat tame steer that he would bring in, and the thing would walk down the street with him, and then he'd signal that it would lie down and grunt and groan to get up and go on. Another time I had, was a roller skating elephant, baby Tara. I read about her in the paper and got her up here for $300, and she went on big time Broadway. Okay, let's see here. The businesses in town are and individuals have been very helpful in paying our expenses, and I can't express our thanks enough. I have some. Parade is a little early this year, so get your entries in now. I have some with me. If anyone wants one, or I'll leave some with you. They're a double-edged thing. You have to read the directions on one side and the form on the other, but get them in soon because we've only got about, less than a month to Connie Day's time. We've got a great team this year. Karen has been a terrific manager, chair, and Nick Madsen will be coming along next year. And he's got some great ideas for fundraising, too. I think that's all that I'm going to ramble about, except take some badges up here. And I'm going to give one to each of these people so I know that they get a free one.
Just hand the bag to the chief, and we'll take care of it.
Thank you. And we certainly appreciate your cooperation, chief, in working with us to the parade, establish the parade route and Bacon Fresh. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you all on Colony Days.
Well, we may be late because we're going to have to stay here late to make up for like all the speakers on Colony Days, but that's okay. We don't mind. Just nod your head like I'm doing.
Hand that down to him too.
Well, does anyone else want to speak on the community forum portion? Seeing none, approach will close the community forum portion, go on with our regular agenda. First item is item C1, the Atascadero Native Tree Ordinance update.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just wanted to give you a quick update on the progress since this March when we adopted some significant amendments to our tree ordinance. And those amendments were really done in the effort to streamline the process and really save staff time and staff report writing time of bringing every single one of these items to Planning Commission. It was at that hearing, back in March of this year, we also had a few public comments that we wanted to respond to. And those comments were essentially regarding how is the public going to understand and know when there's a tree permit application going if we don't have a public hearing and we don't have all of this public advertising and the things that we normally do for that. So it was at the hearing, it was suggested, hey, there's a couple ways we can do that. We can either amend the ordinance that we had presented that night to accommodate some of those things, or we can put in place a process to ensure that we could do that as part of our everyday process at City Hall. And so there was a couple of comments that came up that evening. One of those was, basically clarify our posting requirements on a site where there's going to be a tree removal, establish better organization of the tree permits at the front counter, and possibly do the same on our website. So I wanted to report back to you tonight and tell you what we've done since that time. We do have, one of the things we've done is establish our 15-day posting. So when a tree removal permit is applied for, we'll go out to a site. We'll put a poster on the site near that tree, notifying the neighborhood of that pending tree removal. And then it's done 15 days ahead of that tree removal. So that's probably one of the more important things we've done. We have also established a binder that we keep at our front counter with all of the pending and approved tree removal permits that are in it. We also have a location on our website where we're pretty soon going to be having those available through our permit tracking system. And that's basically our new permit system that's been recently implemented and gradually being built up to speed. And one of the components we're going to have is a public interface with that where we can look at all of those pending permits. So that's going to be a fantastic option we'll have pretty soon. The other thing that we're doing is really creating a lot of public outreach materials, brochures, pamphlets, getting the public to really understand how to identify trees, how to care for their native trees, how to deal with a problem tree, when a permit's required, and getting information out about our newly established, our tree list that we created, which is our, I don't know why I'm stuck for words on that particular name. we'll call it a heritage tree, or our, what do we call it? Yeah, I guess it is heritage trees.
Native heritage.
Yeah. So those are the significant trees in town that we wanted to establish on a list, and we did adopt that list. And pretty soon, what I'll make available to the council also is what we're working on right now, which is called a native tree handbook. And essentially what we're going to do is it's a compilation of our tree ordinance, our tree guidelines, along with some really good, easy-to-follow graphics to really kind of guide you through the process, help you identify the trees, help you understand, you know, when a permit's required and that whole bit. And we're actually working with ALPS right now to help us organize this to make it look really good. It's not any new policies. It's simply a dictation of the policies we have along with some really good interpretive tools. So we'll make that available to you. You can take a look at that real soon as that's ready to go. But anyway, in summary, I just wanted to give you a brief update of the process. We've only taken in 4 tree removal permits since we've adopted the ordinance. 3 of those would have required Planning Commission review. So the process is working. It's saving the staff time, and we're still able to be able to inform the public about what's happening. But with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Any council questions? Go ahead. Councilmember Burbeau, followed by Councilman Moreno.
Thank you, Mr. Dunsmore. You indicated that 3 out of the 4 would have gone to the Planning Commission, which, of course, not only saves staff time, which was a big part of our intent, it also saved those applicants the application fee. And how much was that fee prior to this ordinance change?
It was several hundred dollars, actually, right, for that. So application fee.
This saved those applicants that much. And
exactly.
I'm just very pleased at the savings in staff time and savings to our applicants. It's a very, very small thing, but we've, you know, rolled back regulation and costs to some people in our community. I'm very pleased by that. So I'm glad to hear that it's working well from your perspective. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Ditto on that. And I'm anxious just when that the permitting system, and I know it's a phasing in, and I've been excited about the potential for the public outreach and the increased transparency that this is going to be offering. So when do we anticipate kind of that next phase of things like this being online and viewable by the public? I mean, a conservative estimate. Don't tell
you
me
know,
3 weeks.
It's difficult for me to throw out a timeline really for you right now, but it's in the works, and we're building this. I mean, many components of the system right now, and what I will tell you is that the components of the system we have right now are working beautifully. It's been a very easy to adapt to system, but there's still a few more, I'll call it GIS pieces and public interface pieces that need to be put together, but yeah, I couldn't give you an estimate. I'm hoping by sometime early next year. And that's
okay, so like within the next 12 months,
yes,
we're anticipating that that will be available.
Yeah, and that's where we can basically go online and check status of permits, not have an ability to really interact a whole lot. At some point, we'd like to be able to receive applications through the internet as well for really small applications and things like the tree removal permits, and that's ultimately the goal, is that interface that saves us time at the community development counter and makes it more efficient for the public.
Right. And then my other question is, you had mentioned providing information to the public about caring for trees, because I know if somebody is in a single-family residence and they're not pulling a permit, they don't fall under the tree ordinance in terms of needing to come and request permission. And I know sometimes people can cut down trees because maybe they're scared without really understanding if there's a risk. And so is that something that homeowners will find useful in terms of caring for their trees? And on the other side, some people don't understand that they need pruning. You know, sometimes you get letters from people saying you shouldn't be cutting your oak trees at all when, you know, really, you know, for the health of them, they need to be pruned. So is that something that homeowners will find useful?
Yes, that's the idea by our handbook, is that they'll have some basic guidance on some of those pruning activities and where to consult professional help when they need it. And that guide we'll have available on our website in addition to at our front counter. So that is the hope.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Director.
Thank you. Go ahead, Councilman Fonson.
Thank you. I was wondering if you could clarify for the public what a heritage tree is and what makes it different than a regular tree.
Absolutely. Well, there's a number of significant trees in the community that either have historic significance from the founding of our community, such as the trees in our Sunken Gardens Park, or they're significant because of their size and their stature and their status of native tree. So, for example, some of those trees that were identified are the Dedar cedars in Sunken Gardens Park, a magnolia that's out there, some of the very significant oak trees that line the northern part of El Camino Real, and some of the significant sycamores that line parts of Atascadero Avenue. Those are the examples of some of the trees. And some of those trees were planted during the founding of the community, and they're also trees that just have a significant stature, size, and impact to the way the community appears from an appearance standpoint. Now, I will just note, just on that whole topic, that anybody from the public who has a significant tree on their own property can nominate a tree to that heritage tree list, which is something that the City Council could act on.
And what kind of award do you gain for having a heritage tree if you nominate it from your property?
You get the notoriety of having that tree listed in our exclusive Atascadero City Native Tree Ordinance.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other council questions? This is a non-action item. I do believe that questions were raised by the Atascadero Land Preservation Society, ALPS, as you'd mentioned, and you've worked with them, and they are in agreement with all of the changes and procedures that we have at this point?
Yes. Yes, so, and we're continuing to work with them to continue to refine all of our tools for outreach, and it's been a good relationship.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good partnership. We appreciate all of their work and all that they've done in our community, and appreciate them working with you and also your staff working with them. I think that's very much win-win for our community. I will open up the public. If anyone wanted to make a comment on this at this time, this would be the time. Seeing none approach, we'll close that and move on, and we will receive that information. And is there actually a form to fill out, or you just send an email to County Planning as far as heritage tree designation?
Well, you can send it to County Planning, but the best bet would really to come to City Planning here to Atascadero.
I'm living in too many different worlds, but yeah, thank you for that expeditious.
But you can definitely contact any of us at the Community Development Department to talk about a heritage tree list or any other questions you might have about native trees in the city.
Why would I send anything to County Planning? I don't
That's
know.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Next item is item C2, Purchase and Sale Agreement and Joint Escrow Instructions for Property Located at 6009 Del Rio Road. And it looks like our city attorney is handling this one.
Yes, I am. So it is anticipated that development in the area near the Del Rio interchange will trigger the need for some major street improvements. Can we have the next slide, please? So this is a location map illustrating the property located at 6009 Del Rio. And because of the current street configuration and the proximity of Ramona Road to the 101 southbound on-ramp and off-ramps, acquisition of property in the area would be needed for any such traffic circulation improvements. There is included in the packet with the staff report a proposed purchase and sale agreement and joint escrow instructions for the purchase of the property from the Arnold family. The proposed purchase price for this property is $600,000. That is based on an appraisal. The deposit that would be required of the city within 5 days after the city signs the agreement is $18,000. Escrow is going to be with First American on Morrow Road. It is anticipated that there would be a preliminary title report that would be obtained during the escrow period that could be reviewed by the city and myself to see if there's any title exceptions or other issues with the property. Assuming there are none, the city is at liberty to proceed with the transaction. We do have a 60-day period to conduct inspections of the property. That's sometimes called our due diligence period to determine its condition. The term of the escrow is 120 days or less. If we are able to complete all of the tasks that I've just described to you sooner than 120 days, then by mutual agreement with the sellers, we'll be able to close escrow at an earlier date. You have included with your packet a proposed draft resolution that is approving the purchase and sale agreement and escrow instructions. We have reviewed this acquisition under the CEQA laws. Since this project itself is merely the acquisition of the property, the CEQA analysis and review would take place with respect to any project that might be planned. And that time we would do the analysis of any environmental impacts that that project might have. So can we have the next slide? Well, we skipped one. There we go. So the recommendation is for the council to adopt the draft resolution approving the purchase and sale agreement and joint escrow instructions for the property located at 6009 Del Rio Road. And then the last slide. Questions? So if you have questions, I'm available to respond. The Public Works Director, Nick DeBar, is also here, and as well as the City Manager, if there's any further questions with regard to this transaction.
Thank you. We'll go to Council questions. First, Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
As I recall, Mr. Pierce, there was a residence on that property. Is that correct?
Yes. My understanding is that that tenant has moved.
So the city will not become a landlord?
The city will not be a landlord unless you decided to rent the house out, but my understanding is that the property is not being acquired for that purpose.
And so will the seller be demolishing that property, or the city will take it?
My understanding is the city's buying the property as is, so at whatever point the city determines it's appropriate, and if that was the decision to demolish the building, since it's being purchased for future improvements, I'm assuming that that building will at some point have to be removed.
Got it. Thank you.
Councilmember Burbeau.
My question was basically answered, so thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Moreno.
So I'm just curious why we have in here at all under just 6.1 that, you know, they could go ahead and lease it for not more than 30 days. Why have that option at all? Because then you have, if there is someone in there, we may extend it. It just seems cleaner to say.
Well, let me check that. That could have been drafted at the time that there was a tenant there. So let me look.
It's page 74,
yeah,
6.1.
Well, that is kind of legacy language. It was in there before. It's our understanding that the seller is not intending to rent the property out. And do you have any knowledge on this, City Manager?
It is our, and based on our discussions, he is not intending to rent it out. They have signed the property agreement, and we got it a couple days late to get out into the thing. They are out of the area property owners, so I probably wouldn't recommend changing it, but
okay.
Based on their assurance, that they wouldn't write it out. We can double check that.
Okay. I mean, it's just curious that it's in there if they don't have the intention to. And, of course, it does say that they'll be out beforehand. Otherwise, this would may be extended, which I would think should say will be extended. But that's fine. The part about it being vacant, though, do we have any concerns about a vacant house sitting there that then becomes, sort of a magnet for transient activity?
We certainly do. So while it's in escrow, it's not ours, and they are taking care of it, and they do have one of the partners here is local while it's vacant. During our escrow period, we will be going and looking at it, determining what the best way to remove the building is. Certainly, I know the fire department always likes training opportunities, and so we will be hit up, I would imagine, by them if it's clear from hazardous materials. But we'll arrange to take care of that as soon as possible after the close of escrow.
Okay, thank you.
Any other council questions? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, approach. We'll close the public comment portion, bring it back to council for further discussion, deliberation, or a motion.
I will move that we adopt draft resolution approving purchase and sale agreement and joint escrow instructions for property located at 6009 Del Rio Road, Atascadero.
I will second that motion.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Moreno, seconded by Councilmember Burbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Burbeau.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next item, staffing for adequate fire and emergency response, the SAFER grant program. I believe that is the chief.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm very excited tonight to bring this, the SAFER grant, or staffing for adequate fire and emergency response program grant for you tonight. This is a unique opportunity for the fire department. It brings in about $190,000 of federal money to the city. And I'll go through a couple history points. We have a history with the SAFER grant and also other grants by FEMA. SAFER is a competitive discretionary grant program run by FEMA under the Department of Homeland Security. It provides financial assistance to help fire departments hire new firefighters, with the goal being to improve staffing levels to ensure that they have adequate personnel to respond and safely perform at incident scenes. So these FEMA grants, there's a several others that kind of fall under their umbrella that are able to be applied for by fire departments. We have a history of applying for, since 2002, nearly every year when this program was started. They have the Assistance to Firefighters Grant, which is programs, vehicles, equipment. There's the SAFER, the staffing one. There's a fire prevention and safety component. There's also, at least one year, they offered a fire station construction grant that I'm hoping they bring back at some point, but they haven't yet. So, like I said, since 2002, we've applied for one nearly every year. This would be our sixth accepted grant. So over the years, we've brought in, under the team right now of Captain Dean Parasik and Engineer Tom Little, who's here, they've done an excellent job. And we brought in about nearly $700,000 in federal monies, kind of leveraged by about $60,000 in city dollars. So it's been pretty good for the city. Some of these programs, we've had self-contained breathing apparatus, communications, radios, pagers, hose, thermal imaging camera, health and wellness, physical fitness equipment, some of those types of things. So it's been great for the city. So this spring, Tascadero Fire applied for and was approved for one firefighter position under the SAFER program. This is a three-year position. FEMA pays for the salaries and benefits, but shares the cost. So I did mention we've applied for other ones. We did have a SAFER position in 2010. At that point, they paid for the entire firefighter for 2 years. So they've since changed the program slightly. So now it's a three-year program. They pay salaries and benefits, 75% the first year, the second year, and then 35% that third year. So really, when they're looking at applicants, they're really looking for the best bang for their dollar. They're looking for applicants that are very close to meeting staffing industry standards. And they're looking at how many firefighters are on an engine, but also how many firefighters your department is able to bring to a structure fire. So we're very close. In Atascadero, that number for us is two engine companies, each with three-person staffing. So we were very close over the last year of meeting that goal all the time. But we did fall short from time to time. And mostly that's because when we have one person needs a day off or vacation, holiday, sick day, training, we backfill with overtime. We're not able to cover all those shifts. So really this the way we wrote the grant and the way this person would be used, we can get to nearly 100% of all our shifts with that staffing level. So really, we bring in this firefighter, and how it works is they're able to cover that planned benefit lead time behind other firefighters. So they can take a day off. We'll be able to cover behind a certain number of shifts, which averages out about five. They're able to cover those shifts scheduled ahead of time. We'll be able to reduce a little bit of overtime. We wouldn't be spending the overtime for that position. And then that firefighter is able to fill those five shifts in addition to bringing that staffing level up to where we need it to be. Turn my microphone off. With that, just wanted to follow up. This is a positive thing for the city. It'll be great to get this person into our department, bring him on for 3 years. And with that, I'll look for your approval and acceptance of the grant, and I'll turn it over for any questions.
Thank you. Any council questions? This is kind of an easy one for us. Councilman Fonsi.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a question regarding training. That usually with most employees that are new, there's a learning curve, and it usually takes somewhere around a year. Is that the case for firefighters? I know we only get them for 3 years, and we want to get the most out of them.
Yeah, the thing about firefighting is there's ongoing training for your entire career, but we really are very intense that first year. We have a probationary period of 1 year. We have a very detailed probationary task book and manual that they have to follow, and it lines out what their training is, basically shift by shift for that first year. So we stay up with that firefighter. They complete all those training assignments. At the end of that year, they take a pretty grueling test, and that is the end of their probationary period. That just leads on to their next year of training, but that first year is pretty intense for them.
And another question about the hiring process. This will be a regular hiring process here. It will go out to firefighters statewide, or how will this be done?
Yeah, so the hiring process will be the same as we've been doing over the last few years, and we just went through one this spring. We hired a firefighter this July for an existing vacancy that we had. So that established a firefighter eligibility list, which is still valid for the next almost a year, well, until next July. So we would be able to hire this person off that existing list that we have right now.
And the finances for the city can go up and down and have in the past. If there was some kind of a disaster or other condition, would this person be informed when they were hired that this was a 3-year position and they may or may not be held on after that? Or how would that be handled?
Yeah, exactly. So there's no requirement to maintain this position after the 3 years. You maintain that staffing level that we have today. We would maintain that through the grant. After the 3 years, there's nothing that says you have to keep them. So ideally, the city's doing great, and we're able to maintain this position afterwards. But in the event that it's not, we have multiple pending retirements over the next 3 years. And this very first person that we hire, we're going to basically, you can guarantee them a position. You hire them. If a retirement comes up, everyone kind of bumps up when we hire a new safer position at the bottom. So I think we'll get through the first couple years for sure. We're guaranteed offering someone a job, a career here with the Atascadero Fire for their career. And then when we get to that third year, when we do have all our retirements are completed, that's something we'll have to discuss when we bring that person on and let them know very clearly up front at that point if their position is not guaranteed after that time is up.
Yeah, I think it's important to have that in there. It's only fair to the person being hired to know that. No. Yep. Thank you.
Other council questions? Go ahead, Councilwoman Moreno.
I'm curious, Chief, about right now when we have firefighters who are out, you know, let's say they're up in Northern California helping out with the emergencies that are happening statewide. And so then we end up, you know, of course, a lot more overtime here. So if we have a safer position, the idea is that we want to save on some overtime. I realize that's not going to be 100%. But is there the risk that then we're sending more folks off and we're still incurring that overtime and it's just one more body?
Well, one additional person will not drastically affect how we send engines out of county.
Okay.
It really is takes the best effect on that designated leave time that we know of in advance. So when we know someone's taking a vacation day, this person will be able to fill a certain number of those shifts based on qualifications and who they can work for. But it's really not going to take effect, have a drastic effect on the mutual aid type overtime. As you know, that's reimbursed through the state. It's different than our shift coverage overtime. And it's basically up to how fire season goes. And one person isn't going to send more out or less out. It's kind of a wash on that area.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that the numbers we're looking at, I mean, I know they're not exact, but they're a decent estimate of what we would anticipate.
A decent estimate of the shift coverage, not the mutual aid.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Any other council questions? I'll open it up to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item, now is the time to come forward. Seeing no one approach, we'll close the public comment portion, bring it back to council for a motion.
I'll make the motion that council approve and accept the SAFER grant.
Second.
A motion by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming out this evening, showing your support. And a good job finding another way to get some more staffing. We definitely can use that.
Mr. Mayor, while they're here, I'd like to say on this anniversary of 9/11, thank you to our first responders for being willing to place yourself in danger as needed, and especially also to you, Chief. Pass it on to our officers who are willing to go to the sounds of the guns, as we say. And we appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next item, which is council announcements and reports. I do want to acknowledge and welcome our three council candidates that have been here this evening, Mark Derez, Susan Funk, and Heather Newsom. Often you ask good questions, and if you have a question, then there's probably a whole lot of people at home that have similar questions. And we have the opportunity to discuss this stuff sometimes over years and get pretty well familiar with the items. So it's good when we get comments, questions from the public, because we don't always think of all of those. And I think it's good just to keep people informed on the decisions we make. So thank you all three for participating, because two of you are going to be up here come next couple of months, and this is the no better way to get used to how it all is. And if nothing else, I'm sure you'd agree you can learn by bad example, but hopefully some good example too. But we do appreciate you coming out for our council meetings, and we know how believe me, everyone up here knows how tough campaign season is, so you're all commended for giving it a shot. I don't have any council reports to give myself. There's so many things in process. We'll have a lot more to report, I believe, at our next meeting. Is any other council member having something to report, either on committees or other items they'd like to report on? We will have a continuation of our closed session after this open session, as the attorney had told us earlier. So we still have some work to do tonight. And we know our city manager then has to drive on to even another meeting, so we want to give her the best chance we can. So with that, any other comments by council?
Mr. Mayor, I did attend my first Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting last week. Nothing too exciting to report, but So just getting into that committee. And also the Homeless Services Oversight Council, the last meeting there, you know, the state had passed about, I think it was in the neighborhood of $500 million of additional funding for homeless services in California. And in the neighborhood of $5 million of that would be slated to come to the county of San Luis Obispo for in some, you know, various different pots. One of those pots would result in a request from the county level to, well, to have the Board of Supervisors, but also individual communities declare a shelter crisis or pass a shelter crisis resolution. But there were a lot of unanswered questions as to what exactly that would actually really mean. And so there's concern by a substantial number of members of that body as to what that would entail and what it would actually mean, because everybody would want to be very clear on what would be the result of doing so. So I just bring it up because at some point in the future, that type of question could come before this council. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other council member having a comment or a question for other council members' activities? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. Thank you. We'll follow the city attorney.
I would say let's call it a recess to closed session.
Session. And should we just head to the back or down to the third floor?
Downstairs.
Very good.